The Los Angeles riots of 1992, which some call the LA Uprising, took place this week 25 years ago. Tensions between races and against the police were already simmering ahead of the Rodney King verdict. When it was announced that a jury found four LAPD officers not guilty in the infamous videotaped beating, which occurred at the end of a high-speed police chase, the streets of South Los Angeles erupted in violence. Fires, shooting, looting, murders, and beatings spread to other parts of the city. Sharon Dale was the morning news anchor at Coast 103 Radio. The radio station where she worked became too dangerous to go to. She shares memories of the Los Angeles riots with KCSB's Lisa Osborne.
The riots broke out in South L.A. They called it South Central back then. In South L.A., and people thought it was going to stay kind of localized. But by the second day of it, it had spread to lots of areas of the city that nobody would have predicted, including the Fairfax District and also Koreatown. And the radio station where I worked, which housed KFI and KOST, was right in the heart of Koreatown. So that made things quite scary by the second day of things. And although I was the primary anchor for Coast, the FM station, on the Mark and Kim show, I also did some reports and helped out on KFI. We were in the same building, of course, and shared the same newsroom. So while Coast was out of their morning drive news block, I was helping KFI with their coverage, and I went up on the roof of the building, which was allowed back then, and actually reported what I was seeing from up there live on KFI. And it was pretty frightening because from up there you could see smoke and fires from not that far away. This was at 6th and Ardmore, as the station's not there anymore, but you could see fires on Western and Wilshire Boulevard was absolutely jam-packed with cars of commuters who were fleeing the area. As you know, that's a big business district, and it was packed, and there were reports of, you know, thugs dragging people out of their cars on Wilshire. A lot of fear. And so the station management told all of the basic staff to go home at that point. And I did, too. I left at that point and by the afternoon of that day. And it's a good thing because all of my trip home, which was a shot right down La Brea Avenue, I could see buildings burning, firefighters trying to fight the flames, people standing around watching, some areas where the lights were out, the street lights or the, you know, traffic lights. It was really scary watching all of that in your own basic neighborhood. And the tension was really bad. I mean, people were shooting at the firefighters.
Wow.
Trying to fight the flames. It was, you know, so out of control that's what made it so frightening to, you know, a natural disaster is different. People pitch in to try to, you know, pick up the pieces. This was all man-made cause. So that's what made it the most frightening thing I've ever experienced here in L.A., for sure.
And you were able to, KFI moved operations for most of the on-air staff to one of the employees' homes, but there were a few people at the station, and at some point they decided that it was too dangerous for those few people who were still in the building at 6 and Ardmore to be in it, so KFI actually signed off the air for a few minutes, and then somehow was able to come back on when the National Guard came and protected the station?
Actually, I think the chain of events was they evacuated everybody who wasn't on-air, you know, staff, and the news team for KFI went to the chief engineer's home, and then they treated their coverage from there like a remote. So they remotely did all their newscasts right from his home for a while, which was in a more safer, you know, neighborhood. But I had the weekend off, and I came back on the following Monday. And by the time I got there, that's when the National Guard troops were there. They didn't get to our building immediately, but they took the management of the stations covered up the sign because they were afraid it would be a target
As a radio station, as a media outpost.
As a radio station, exactly. So they covered up the sign pretty early on, and then it took a few days before the National Guard troops got there. But everybody was really relieved. When they got there, then the rest of us came back to work because we felt protected at that point.
And at one point, you went down to rescue a colleague. You had a day off work, and one of your colleagues at KFI Coast lived in South Central and was trapped in his home at the time. And talk about the story of going to help Harry.
Yeah, that was an incredible memory. My husband and I knew Harry, and actually everybody at the station loved Harry. He was our elderly security guard. And he was living by himself in an apartment near the Flashpoint in South L.A., and luckily his phone still worked, so we were able to talk to him on the phone, and he was describing his situation where, you know, he woke up in the middle of the night and his wall was hot, and he looked out, and the convenience store next door was burning. He had no power. You know, he had no way to get around because he took the bus, and obviously there were no buses. And he was very worried that all the food in his refrigerator and freezer was going to spoil. And, you know, he was trapped. So we went down there, down Manchester. It was Manchester near Hoover. It was a, you know, kind of a not a great neighborhood to begin with. And it was an amazing trip. That the rioting was over, but the damage was everywhere. The firefighters were still on scene putting out the fires. There was water running all in the streets. Civilians were trying to guide traffic through because there were no stop signs, stop lights. You could see cars that had crashed into things like light poles, lots and lots of burned down buildings. Graffiti all over the place. One of the common ones would be people wrote black owned on their business to try to keep it
from being
safe.
Burned. Wow.
Being burned. And then the other kinds of really hateful graffiti all over the place, like kill the police and, you know, all that kind of thing.
Were you able to determine, was it gang members who were instigating this? Was it the MS-13 gang? Did the news department, do you remember that at all? Or who were the instigators of the riot?
You know, I don't recall anybody putting a specific blame, although there was friction between our mayor and our police chief, and a lot of finger-pointing going on back and forth why the police department didn't hop and get more cracked down when the things first erupted. And then everybody was watching this on TV, and so people who were just trying to join the party, so to speak, take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, for the looting, right? For the looting, yeah.
You know, those could have been anybody. I don't think they were just gang members. I think they were just angry people who went out and thought it was a fun party to get in there and loot and burn. And even that time when we were up on our roof at our station, you could hear people yelling, "Burn, baby, burn," from other rooms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some people, you know, will just jump in and think that's a fun thing to do. They don't realize they're burning down their own town. You know?
Yeah, until it's over.
Burning
and then
down their own store.
Gosh. My gosh. So what happened to Harry? Did you get Harry out of South Central at the time, or did you just bring him provisions, or what happened when you got to Harry?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. We actually took him out and back into safer territory, took him out to lunch, got him a whole bunch of ice for his freezer and, you know, some food, took him shopping. So we basically took him out of there for a few hours and then got him settled back in and kept in touch until his power came back on and things like that. So he was fine, but I think he was grateful that he was especially happy to get out for a little bit, and because there was no power, he couldn't hear what was going on anywhere else. You know, he had no radio, he had nothing work, no TV, nothing.
Gosh.
So he was pretty isolated.
Gosh, I'm sure it meant a lot to him that you came to help him out. So it was 5 days of rioting. Over 50 people were killed in the rioting. What about the, let's talk about the drum circle at the, when the rioting quieted down and you guys all came together and did something spiritual on the air.
Yeah, that was really cool. My husband, Bill, at the time was working for the Remo Drum Company in North Hollywood. And so, you know, we knew a lot of people in the drumming community, and including Arthur Hall, who is a world-renowned hand drum circle facilitator. So Bill and I suggested that maybe KFI could do a drum circle. And originally we were thinking about, they even wanted to do it up on the roof, you know, like the Beatles playing up on the roof. But it was still too dangerous to do it on the roof. So we did it inside the KFI studio, and we had Arthur Hull and another person that we know from the Remo Drum Company came in and facilitated a live drum circle. I don't know if they've ever done that before, but it was basically drumming for peace kind of thing, live on the air, and that was pretty cool.
Cool. And is there anything else that I should add?
I think that was pretty much my side of it. While my story was intense to me, I think the people who were actually reporters on the ground or airborne reporters in the sky watching it had an even more intense experience and memory, because some of them felt, you know, endangered. I didn't really feel endangered personally so much, you know, but some of them were out there reporting by themselves or just with a small news crew, and there was a lot of violence going on. So
that was radio news anchor Sharon Dale recalling her memories of covering the Los Angeles riots.